Dear friends, welcome to another edition of your favorite weekend character building show, Vivetics. My name is Dr. Ovundanyeche. I'm a medical doctor, author, and public speaker, and I'm your host for today. Just before we begin, let us take an opening message from Her Excellency, Justice Mrs. Suzette Eberechi Nyenzonwike, initiator of Vivetics.
Greetings to our kind-natured people of River State and welcome to another episode of Rivetics on Radio, a character-building weekend show. Please remember that suicide is not an option at all. In trying to kill yourself, you kill those you could possibly leave behind who truly love you. This episode is in commemoration of the United Nations World Suicide Prevention Day 2019. Close to 800,000 people die by suicide every year. In addition, there are more than 16 million suicide attempts each year. Suicides and suicide attempts have a ripple effect that impacts on families, friends, colleagues, communities, and societies. Suicides are preventable. Much can be done to prevent suicide at individual, community, state, and national levels. The following are the warning signs of suicide or indicators that a person may be in acute danger and may urgently need help. These include someone talking about wanting to die or to kill oneself, looking for a way to kill oneself, talking about feeling hopeless or having no purpose, talking about feeling trapped or being in unbearable pain, also talking about being a burden to others, increasing the use of alcohol or drugs, acting anxious, agitated or reckless, sleeping too little or too much, withdrawing or feeling isolated, showing rage or talking about seeking revenge, and also displaying extreme mood swings. Much can be done to prevent suicide. The WHO, which is the World Health Organization, recommends four key interventions which have proven to be effective. And these are 1. Restricting access to means of inflicting deadly personal harm. 2. Helping young people develop skills to cope with life's pressures. 3. Early identification and management of people who are thinking about suicide or who have made a suicide attempt, keeping follow-up contact in the short and longer term, and 4. Working with the media to ensure responsible reportage of suicide. Collectively, the World Health Organization's approach to suicide prevention is known as Live Life, L-I-V-E, which is for leadership, interventions, vision, and evaluation. This approach is the basis on which comprehensive national suicide prevention strategies should be developed, as well as personal, family, community, and state. Our guest speaker today is Dr. Ovunda Nyeche, a medical doctor, author, and public speaker. He will be sharing with us his insight on the topic. Please enjoy the episode. Our caring Rivers people, remember to always let your manners speak for you. God bless and keep you and your families, and God bless River State.
Don't run the other man down. Don't wish him bad. No, no. There are better things to do. Better pastimes around. Careless talk is not the right way. Love River State or leave her alone. Don't pull her down, no, no. Think what you can do for her. Engage yourself in meaningful activities. No room for gossips. Do something meaningful.
Welcome back. If you're just tuning in, this is With Ethics on Radio, and I'm Dr. Ovunda Nyeche, your host for today. I'll be speaking on suicide prevention. 10th of September every year, the International Association for Suicide Prevention, in collaboration with the World Health Organization, celebrates the World Suicide Prevention Day. It is a day dedicated to raise awareness about suicide prevention. The WHO, through the WHO Mental Health Action Plan, is committed to working towards the global target of reducing the suicide rate in countries by 10%. by 2020. This year, just like last year, the team is working together to prevent suicide. What is suicide? Suicide is the act of intentionally causing one's own death. It can also be defined as the act or an instance of taking one's own life voluntarily and intentionally. Suicide is not new at all. It's not a new phenomenon. In the Holy Bible, Judas Iscariot, a disciple of Jesus, betrayed Jesus Christ and is the most prominent example of suicide. After he betrayed Jesus and came to the realization that his betrayer meant Jesus would be condemned to die, he was filled with guilt and later took his own life. In Chinua Achebe's masterpiece, Things Fall Apart, Okonkwo, the protagonist in the novel, unable to cope with change and with a feeling of hopelessness, took his own life. Being a strong man physically is not an insurance against suicide or other mental health issues. Many communities have rules and laws to discourage suicide. In my community, those that died by suicide were not buried but thrown into the evil forest. From the above, it is clear that suicide is not a new phenomenon, even if it is now a public health issue. Every year worldwide, over 800,000 people die by suicide, and this represents a death every 40 seconds. So what it means is that in 40 seconds, just count 40 seconds, someone has died by suicide. To put this in perspective, the Abuja National Stadium has a capacity of about 60,000, and the equivalent of this is having about 13 of these stadia filled to capacity with human beings, and everyone in these stadia lose their lives tragically. Imagine the uproar if this were to happen. Now you understand why suicide is a public health issue. Also, the future of every nation, every state, including Rivers State, and every people is their young ones. But unfortunately, among adolescents and young adults, suicide is the second leading cause of death. Amongst those who are between the ages of 15 to 29 years, suicide is topped only by a road traffic accident and followed by interpersonal violence, which includes communal clash, court and gang violence. It is not a Nigerian issue alone. The Office of the National Statistics in the UK estimates that one university student dies from suicide every 4 days. For every suicide, it's important to note that 25 more people make a suicide attempt, and many more have serious thoughts of suicides, or what we call suicidal ideations. The person who dies by suicide is not just a statistic. The person that dies is not just a firewood. That person represents someone's child, someone's partner, someone's colleague, someone's friend or relative. So while the person passes away, the person passes over the pain, regret, and grief to so many others. For every suicide death, about 135 people are affected negatively. And when you put this into perspective, this amounts to 108 million people per year who are derived by suicide. Suicide does not just occur in high-income countries, and is not only a foreign phenomenon. It can happen to anyone and anywhere. And contrary to popular beliefs, suicide affects close to 80% of those in low and middle-income countries where Nigeria falls into. As resources for identifying, managing, and supporting those who are at risk are very scarce. And due to the taboo associated with mental health issues, people find it difficult to open up if they have mental health challenges. What is mental health, if you may ask? Mental health, by definition, is a state of well-being in which every individual realizes his or her own potential, can cope with the normal stress of life, can work productively and fruitfully, and is able to make a contribution to her or his society or community. How are we helping people cope with the normal stress of life? It is good to push your children to succeed, but the question is, do they have the necessary skills for coping with the stresses of life in every level of their life? And are there places for them to run or go to when they have these stresses? Also, for you listening, how are you coping with the normal stresses of life? Why suicide? Suicide is complex and rarely can be attributed to a single cause. It is a result of a combination of genetic factors, psychological factors, social factors, cultural factors and other risk factors, sometimes mixed with experiences of trauma and loss. What are the risk factors for suicide? By far, the strongest risk factor for suicide is a previous suicide attempt. Unfortunately, due to the stigma associated with suicide, many people who have had a suicide attempt before never open up, and they hope they can snap out of their gloom. Relatives and close friends of people who die by suicide are also a high risk group for suicide as well, due to the psychological trauma of a suicide loss, potential shared familial and environmental risk, imitation, and the burden of stigma associated with this loss. It's important to note that 80 to 90% of suicides are related to mental health issues, chief of which is depression, which is a mood disorder where the person becomes extremely sad for a long duration. I'm not just talking about sadness because everybody feels sad. If, for instance, you're not paying salaries for a while, you will feel sad. If you cannot provide for your home, you will feel sad. If you fail an examination, you will feel sad. If you lost a loved one, you feel sad. But the reality is that after a while, the sadness goes away. But in depression, this sadness still persists for a long time, for at least greater than 2 weeks, and it interferes with their daily functioning. Some symptoms could include low self-esteem, feeling of worthlessness, no longer having hope in the future, life looks bleak and dark, emotional pain and anguish, change in sleep pattern, either the person is sleeping so much or the person can no longer sleep, anger or hostility that seems out of character with the person, recent increased agitation or irritability, excessive crying or isolation, weight gain or loss, guilt, either eating so much or not eating, loss of interest or pleasure in activities, as well as suicidal ideations. Other mental health issues include psychosis, personality disorder, anxiety disorder, and substance abuse, which includes alcoholism. However, it's important to note that many suicides happen impulsively in moments of crisis with a breakdown in the ability to deal with life stresses, such as financial problems, failing an examination, disappointments, bullying, relationship breakup, or chronic pain and illness. In addition, experiencing conflict, disaster, violence, abuse, or loss, and a sense of isolation are strongly associated with suicidal behavior. Let's go on a short break. We'll be right back.
Come, come, my friend. There is no zero man. Everyone has got some talent. Take time, you'll discover yourself, and you'll make your life a better one. Every human being has a talent. Why not discover your talent and use it for yourself and the service of your people? Use your talent, start today, and we'll all live the peaceful way.
Welcome back. If you're just tuning in, this is With Ethics on Radio, and I'm Dr. Ovunda Anyeche, your host for today. I've been speaking on suicide prevention. Now, what are the methods of suicide? It is estimated that around 20% of global suicides are due to pesticide self-poisoning, most of which occur in rural agricultural areas in low and middle income countries. Other common methods of suicide are hanging and firearms. Knowledge of the most commonly used suicide methods is important to devise prevention strategies which have shown to be effective, such as restriction of access to means of suicide. How can suicide be prevented? Like it is said, prevention is better than cure. And in this case, prevention is very vital. Suicides are often preventable, and you listener, you're a key player in its prevention. You do not need to be a doctor or a psychiatrist to play your part in the prevention of suicide. You can make a difference as a member of society, as a child, as a parent, as a friend, a colleague, or as a neighbor. Suicide prevention strategies aim to prevent suicide among targeted high-risk groups, but also at a universal level. There are numbers of measures that can be taken at population, subpopulation, and individual levels to prevent suicide and suicide attempts. These include early identification, treatment, and care of people with mental and substance use disorders, chronic pain, and acute emotional distress. Whether you are offline, whether you are social media savvy, it's important that we watch out for warning signs. When people start saying things like, "I wish I hadn't been born. If I see you again, I'll be better off dead. I'll be better in the land of the dead. I always see myself in the land of the dead. You'll be sorry when I'm gone. I can't see any way out. The light seems so bright. I love my darkness." They may not be seeking for attention. They may not be drama kings or queens. All they may be doing, or all they are doing, could be simply reaching out for help and support. When you notice things are not okay, or notice increased withdrawal and isolation, self-hatred, feeling of guilt, hopelessness, preoccupation with death, talking about disappearing and going where no one can find them, and a search for lethal options, that's the time to intervene. Show support. Be a listening ear. This will be more effective. It will do well to stop stigmatizing people with mental health issues. When we stigmatize or label people that use mental health services or services for the prevention of substance abuse, people become scared of coming out and face their issues alone, which many times can be fatal. We must intentionally break down the taboo and reduce discrimination against people using these services and raise community awareness if we are to make progress in preventing suicide. Parents should do more. Parents should do more. How often do you as a parent make out time for your children? I know you are busy, but don't you think that these days we outsource parenting to nannies, to maids, to boarding schools, to churches, to all other people apart from us, their parents? Adolescents and young adults are in a peculiar phase of life. Most mental disorders manifest at this age. When you add issues like peer pressure, being independent, boarding schools and universities, of course, drugs, issues about sexuality, academic stress, and pressure of passing exams, amongst others, you'll discover that parents need to do more. And school authorities, including primary and secondary schools, must address the issues of bullying, be professional and wise about handling youthful exuberance, should have avenues and school support groups for students dealing with a lot of stress, and be at alert for kids experimenting with drugs so that they can be helped on time. Another method is to reduce access to the means of suicide. Stakeholders must play a role in reducing the availability, accessibility, and attractiveness of the means to suicide. In our own setting, one of the most common means of suicide is the use of pesticides. The pesticides can be made very bitter, made very unattractive, its cell controlled, and there has to be effort to ensure those buying it use it for the purpose they were bought for. Also, effort should be made to reduce the toxicity / lethality of available means. One very important thing I'll talk about today is the media has to be responsible when reporting suicide. Listen to some radio stations and hear how suicide is glorified and romanticized. Look at the breaking news on some TV stations. See headlines of newspapers as well as social media, and see how dying by suicide can transform you to a hero of sorts. You can see the competition for breaking news, many of which are deaths by suicide. Many of these media stations give graphic details of how it took place, and they go further to discuss the method used, many times putting the picture of the substance used for the suicide and trying to tie the suicide to a life event. One headline read, 300 level university student commits suicide over breakup with boyfriend. And that headline read, 300 level medical student commits suicide for failing exams. In both instances, their pictures were displayed on the newspaper and they occupied ample space. Just imagine someone who has never been celebrated in his or her life seeing this and thinking, "Wow, so if I kill myself, I will make headline news." Just think about someone in a vulnerable situation seeing this and saying, "Wow, this is a way out." Hence, those in the media and those that use social media, which is not really censored, must understand that there is something called copycat suicide, and suicide could be contagious and speak a language. Hence, it is very important we mind what we put out, as people can imitate suicide. Report responsibly. Don't attempt to simplify suicide. Avoid describing that suicide has no cause. This may incorrectly reinforce a false belief that treatment doesn't work and suicide cannot be prevented. Don't glorify or romanticize suicide. Sensational headlines will not help the matter. Don't graphically describe suicide and put all personal life details of the person who died to the public, also bearing in mind the bereaved at risk for suicide. It is also harmful to refer to suicide as successful, unsuccessful, or a failed attempt, or using the phrase committed suicide. Use phrases like died by suicide or killed him / herself. Also include things like prevention information where readers, listeners, or viewers can seek help, share stories of hope, and those who overcame a suicidal crisis, and get expert opinion when you are talking about suicide. Talking about expert opinion, there are places you can reach out to if you're having all these ideations. One is the Nigerian Suicide Prevention Initiative. You can reach them at 0806-210-6493. You can also reach them at 0802106493. You can also reach out to ECSI. ECSI is actually the Emotional Crisis Support Initiative. It's a mental health intervention and suicide prevention program of the University of Port Harcourt Teaching Hospital. They run from Monday to Friday from 8 a.m. to 4 p.m. and you can reach them on 0903-6468-118. It's also important to follow up care for people who attempted suicide and provision of community support. Training of non-specialized health workers in the assessment and management of suicidal behavior. Supporting young people to build life skills and teaching them that failure is not fatal. For instance, as a trained medical doctor, it was a constant battle in medical school. You could fail out in year 1, fail out in year 3 or year 4. In fact, I had a close friend who failed out in year 4, and I doubt there was any system in place in university to emotionally support him through that trying period in his life. I also had a relative that failed out of medical school, and for me, that was not the person in the middle of this. It was painful. Then talk more of the person that was passing through this themselves. Luckily for them, they had a strong family support system. Many don't. In this age where people are so glued to their phones, and when people compete with the pictures others create online. And judge their success based on what others are achieving, it is important we must make intentional efforts to build a good self-esteem. Self-efficacy, which is the belief we have in our own abilities, specifically our ability to meet the challenges ahead of us and complete a task successfully. This also refers to our overall belief in our ability to succeed. We also want to talk about effective problem-solving skills, which include the ability to seek help when needed. Talking about another factor, strong personal relationships. It's important we cultivate and maintain healthy close relationships. This is important because it can increase the individual's resilience and act as a protective factor against the risk of suicide. The individual's closest social circle, partners, family members, peers, friends, and significant others have the most influence and can be supportive in times of crisis. Suicide is a complex issue, and therefore suicide prevention efforts require coordination and collaboration among multiple sectors of community, including the health sector, other sectors like education, labor, religious bodies, agriculture, business, justice, law, defense, politics, and the media. These efforts must be comprehensive and integrated, as no single approach alone can make an impact on an important issue as complex as suicide. This World Suicide Prevention Day, and every day, take a minute to reach out to someone, a complete stranger, close family member, or friend. This can change a life. If you are worried about someone in your community, reach out and ask them, "Are you okay?" By simply checking in with them and offering non-judgmental support, you can make a difference. Encourage those in distress to tell their own story in their way and at their pace. Be engaging in active listening and reaching out to those who are vulnerable in the community. Together, we can build resilient and strong communities. Let's go for another break. We'll be right back.
Look at your life. Hey, what do you want to make of it? There is dignity in labor. That's the kind of life that's worth living. Idleness breeds evil. There's plenty around to do, my friend. So work hard, really hard. That's the only way to live your life.
Welcome back. As I draw to a conclusion, I will advise you to take care of your mental health. And by this I mean, sleep well. Your brain needs rest as well. Stay away from drugs, substances and alcohol abuse. Exercise regularly and invest in meaningful relationships, as life was never meant to be lived in isolation. It is also important to seek for professional counsel and care. I want to tell someone out there that you are not alone. As far as there is life, there is hope. Do not lose hope. Do not lose faith. Don't give up on life. Things will not always be like this. Seek help. It is available. Open up. The world needs to get the best and all of you. Let's work together to prevent suicide. Thank you very much.
Dear friends, this is the much we can take on today's edition of Reef Ethics. I hope it made a difference in our collective effort to make our society a better place. If you missed parts of this episode or wish to download these or previous editions, please visit our website www.reefethics.com to listen to or download all episodes. You're free to share the production with your friends, at your school, or community. You can join the Reef Ethics family on Facebook or Twitter via at Reef Ethics, and you can call our phone numbers for questions related to these or other editions. The numbers are 0808-917-7707, 0902-917-7706, or send us an email to reefethics@gmail.com. The Reef Ethics radio program currently airs on 5 radio stations in Reef State every Saturday as follows: Nigeria Info 92.3 FM from 8:30 a.m. to 9 a.m. Radio Rivers 99.1 FM 9 o'clock to 10 o'clock in the morning, with a repeat broadcast same time on Sunday. Rhythm 93.7 FM 2:30 to 3 p.m. in the afternoon, with a repeat broadcast same time on Sunday. Treasure FM 98.5, 6:30 to 7 p.m. in the evening, with a repeat broadcast on Sunday by 5:30 to 6 o'clock in the evening. On Wazobia 94.1 FM, on Saturday evening, program starts at 5 o'clock to 5:30 p.m. Until next week with another host, remember to always let your manners speak for you. Wishing you a great week ahead.
Don't run the other man down. Don't wish him bad. No, no. There are better things to do. Better pastimes around. Careless talk is not the right way. Love River State or leave her alone. Don't pull her down, no, no. Think what you can do for her. Engage yourself in meaningful activities. No room for gossips. Do something meaningful.